A confession caught on tape. Wealthy heir Robert Durst in this moment of candor on mic last night at the end of a 6-part series on HBO called The Jinx, The Life and Deaths of Robert Durst.
There may be difficulty with the question. Kill them all, of course.
Did you hear that? I killed them all, of course. As a result of that broadcast, Durst, the wealthy heir to one of New York's most prominent real estate empires, is in police custody in New Orleans, charged by the district attorney in Los Angeles in the murder of his friend Susan Berman. But he says here, I killed them all, of course. And so this new arrest may shed light on Durst's acquittal for self-defense in 2003 after admitting to killing and dismembering a man in Galveston, Texas, or the fate of Durst's first wife, Kathleen McCormick, who disappeared back in 1982. Joining me now is James Poniewozik, Time Magazine's TV critic. James, not exactly a crime beat for you, but that's exactly what's going on in this television show.
Yeah, I feel like I've been on the crime beat for the past 6 weeks at least. You know, certainly like nothing I have seen on TV, and you know, I watch a lot of TV. If I had seen something like this play out in a scripted primetime procedural, you know, you'd be like, get out of here. he monologues into a hot microphone unwittingly twice. When would that ever happen in real life?
Did HBO set out to get Durst in this documentary series?
You know, to see the way it evolved and the way Jarecki recounts it, he worked on this over a long, long time. The origin of it actually is that Andrew Jarecki had directed a scripted feature film that was based on the original Kathy Durst case. Robert Durst heard about the film and got in touch with Andrew Jarecki and offered himself up. The idea that Jarecki would do an interview with him and talk about him. So, you know, one could as well ask whether Robert Durst somehow wanted to get Robert Durst here. At this point, you know, he was a free man. He had eluded arrest and or conviction more than once at this point.
And so the attention is possibly something that breaks the sort of boredom of simply being a fugitive that people have forgotten. You know, in some ways, this is a little bit like Serial, the public radio case that was, you know, a cold case that a reporter doggedly kind of brought to life again. But it's also a little bit like a Perry Mason cross-examination in the sense that this is Durst versus the camera. What do you think this is more like, Serial or more like Perry Mason?
You know, it really is a little more like a Perry Mason, or even a kind of extended version of a police procedural. I mean, this is the kind of case that, you know, Law and Order did this a lot faster in an hour, but that they lived for. You know, wealthy guy brought up on charges seems to be eluding justice and is gotten to confess or at least blab something on microphone. It certainly, it seemed earlier on to be more similar to Serial in that, you know, Serial was sort of going back and telling the story of this murder conviction, couldn't really, you know, open and shut, solve it, and turned into kind of more a meditation on the nature of finding justice and truth and the murkiness of memory and so on. Serial, what was one thing that was so amazing about it is that as it evolved, you realized, no, this is actually like driving toward an end. They're building a theory of a case. And that was another thing that just made it, A, just gobsmacking, and B, like nothing that, you know, I can really compare it to having seen on TV before.
Well, and this certainly the truth is in the mind somewhere of Robert Durst in this case. And whatever happens, HBO has got many more details to possibly put on television. James, thanks so much.
Thank you for having me.
James Poniewozik is Time Magazine's TV critic on the Robert Durst case.